This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Off the ball, GAA.
Wow. Oh, the Gaelic is back, Steve-O. It's certainly back. Tommy's loving it there, isn't he?
Oh, man, fire, Thomas.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Manchester City suffer a shock loss to Bodø/Glimt, and is this the beginning of the end for Pep Guardiola? Spurs beat Borussia Dortmund to ease the pressure on manager Thomas Frank, and Mohamed Salah gets ready to return for Liverpool's crucial game away to Marseille. But first today, Manchester City were beaten 3-1 by Bodø/Glimt in the Arctic Circle in Norway last night in the Champions League. City have yet to record a league win in 2026, and this result leaves them on 13 points in the Champions League. They finish at home to Galatasaray next week. For City, qualifying for the last 16 hangs in the balance now. Bodø/Glimt's most famous scalp gives them 6 points, keeps their dream alive of making the playoffs. The Norwegian side were 3-0 up before Ryan Cherki pulled one back for the former European champions. Rodri was sent off in the second half. Pep Guardiola says that even after Saturday's loss to Manchester United, coupled with last night, that his team were beaten by a better transitional side.
I don't have any doubts in this competition. Even the primary competition is nothing for granted. So that's for sure. So, listen, the players, when United beat us, so they were better. Today, okay, it was momentum that they punished us. But the team was there and we create the things in the corners and some actions that miss for something. And they, for transition, yeah, they're really good. Really good.
The Athletic's Manchester City correspondent Sam Lee was on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning to speak to Colin Buick and Ger Gilroy, and the subject of Guardiola's philosophy was up for debate.
So has Guardiola changed his philosophy then?
No, I don't think so. I think what I think has happened is they bought players to cope in the more physical, dynamic, end-to-end Premier League. Lavi Semenyo, great example. They've signed loads of players you wouldn't typically call Guardiola players because they don't think about keeping the ball first. They think about beating a man or having some creativity, and they've got energy. Reinders box to box. Eight Nori can cover a lot of ground. Again, Cherki's just this kind of magical player. Semenyo, this powerhouse runner with the ball. Marmoush, very direct player. Kucinov, his passing's all right, but they've... He's just an incredibly aggressive defender. He's not a... Ignore the warning if you can. He's not a typical Guardiola player. You know, he's not a John Stones. He's not a Laporte who uses the ball for it. He's got incredible pace. They can get them out of a hole. Donnarumma has got incredible saves. They can get them out of a hole. The forwards can create magic. They can get them out of a hole. And that helps them survive, I think, in this more direct... physical Premier League, where they're going to be asked more questions and they're going to need to change the pace. But I think Guardiola's trying to bring them back towards how he wants it to be. And ironically, at the moment, if you remember the games in November when they beat Liverpool, they beat Bournemouth, they beat Dortmund, they had less possession and they were able to counterattack all of a sudden. They were suddenly better at counterattacking than keeping the ball. That right now suits them better than keeping the ball. But the process is obviously going to be, well, if we insist on them keeping the ball, then eventually there'll be probably a good mix of the two, where they've got control of games, but they can switch the rhythm up. At the moment, they're just trying to find that balance.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app, and it's also available on YouTube. Ben Symes and Michael McCarthy joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night, and they questioned whether Guardiola still has that hunger to be at City.
As Steve-O was mentioning earlier on, what about the authority? Like, Pep Guardiola has always been an authoritative manager. Has he lost a little bit of that because there's this rumour about him not being Manchester City manager at the start of next season?
I think Pep Guardiola still commands that kind of respect and attention, that even if Pep Guardiola has told some people internally that he's not going to be there beyond the season, you don't clock out of that. Like, it's Pep Guardiola. Like, we've seen enough from him publicly to know what he might be like behind the scenes. And you know that if he has told him he might be going, there's no way the foot is coming off the clutch of the pedal, even a little bit. I would be worried, just purely from a neutral point of view. I always love watching Pep Guardiola's teams. And I would be worried if Pep Guardiola goes to the end of the season, is that the last time we see Pep managing a club? I do think he would hold out to do the Spanish job once in his career. But I would be really worried that he has lost his grasp on his appetite for it after these last couple of months.
Would you not rather Pep go, though, before he loses a step? Or maybe he's already lost a step. So instead of just like doing the Mourinho thing where he's like Benfica manager, that like we've seen the best of Pep Guardiola. It's unlikely, given that he's been a manager since 2008.
Eight, yeah.
You know, it's unlikely he's going to get any better now, nearly 20 years later. It doesn't really happen. Alex Ferguson maybe being the only possible example of that. You know, generally the really top managers who are, you know, pioneers and are setting trends have much smaller windows than Pep's already had.
Maybe that is the case. If it is the case, it's still incredibly sad to see the beginnings of the end of one of the greatest managers of all time, not even of this generation. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe this just simply is the end.
Two poor seasons in a row, and in this second season they have spent a lot of money and continue to do so this January to try and arrest that slide. Now, maybe I don't think they're buying as well as they have in the past, and that's not Pep's fault.
Elsewhere in the Champions League last night, Tottenham moved one step closer to automatic qualification for the last 16. Spurs won 2-0 at home to 10-man Borussia Dortmund to ease some of the pressure on manager Thomas Frank.
We all knew it was an important win to get, and especially at home, of course, we haven't been as confident. So the performance and the win, can we build on? And then ask for the fans to help everyone, and especially the team and the players, and they were exceptional.
Christian Romero and Dominic Solanke got the goals for Spurs, and Frank says the result has to be the catalyst for more success.
I feel the staff is with us, players are with us, the ownership, everyone want the same thing, and we're on the same page, and we do a lot of things in the right direction. And today was a big performance and a big win, but also very aware that this we have done, we need to keep that consistency.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says his players deserve huge praise for reaching the last 16 with one game to spare, thanks to a 3-1 win away to Inter.
Probably we didn't have the necessity in terms of the points, but we really had the hunger and the desire to come to a place like this against a top side and prove where we are and what we can do.
Arsenal are guaranteed a top two finish in the 36-team group, which means home advantage for the second legs in knockout games. Gabriel Jesus scored twice. Victor Gyökeres came off the bench to get the third goal. Arteta praised the hunger and desire of his players.
Very proud, not only for tonight's game, but what we've done in the competition so far in 7 matches, and with one game to go, to be already in the position that we want to be, massive praise to the team, because we know how difficult it is.
Elsewhere last night, holders PSG were shocked in Lisbon, going down 2-1 to Sporting, which guaranteed their place in the top 24. Real Madrid hammered Monaco 6-1. Kylian Mbappe scored twice against his former club. Napoli were held to a 1-1 draw away to Copenhagen, who had a player sent off. Scott McTominay got the goal for Antonio Conte's side. Olympiacos beat Bayer Leverkusen 2-0 to move into the top 24. Villarreal lost 2-1 to Ajax, and Club Brugge won 4-1 against Kairat Amati in Astana. More action tonight, and Liverpool boss Arne Slot has suggested Mohamed Salah will be in the team for their game away to Marseille. The Egyptian hasn't started since their defeat to PSV Eindhoven in the same competition back in November. Salah claimed he no longer had any relationship with his manager in an interview he gave after he was left on the bench for the game against Leeds last month. That was before he went to the Africa Cup of Nations. But Slot says that's not how he sees it.
As normal as it's always been, there was only one exception, and it was the game against Inter where I didn't took him, but for all the games he was there. And in the last game, he was at Liverpool before he went to the AFCON. He came in after 15-20 minutes, and I think he had a very good performance in that game.
Marseille boss Roberto De Zerbi says he remains fully focused on his job at the French club. He has been linked with Manchester United. The former Brighton boss says all he's worried about right now is Liverpool.
I have no space on my head to think other team, especially because I feel very well in this city, with this player, with this club. And for the future, we got to speak in the next month, in the next year, I don't know.
Chelsea boss Lemar Senior says he's keen to finish in the top eight to avoid that playoff round. He'll experience the Champions League for the first time when they host Cypriot side Pavos. It sees a return to Stamford Bridge for 2012 Champions League winner David Luiz. Senior says their opponents will provide a tough test.
They're still in a position where they can qualify. Analysing them, they have strengths in terms of the way Albert has put the team together that we have to be aware of. But we need to go out and perform really, really well and not think too much about how important it is to miss out games. The most important thing is qualifying.
Newcastle boss Eddie Howe urged his players to call upon the spirit of Bobby Robson as they prepare to host PSV. The former England manager won the Dutch title with tonight's opponents before a five-year spell in charge of Newcastle, the club he supported as a boy. Howe says he shares Robson's principles.
Hard work, good organisation, always going to the end, never giving up, trying to do the crowd justice, representing the club in the right way. I think these are all values that he stood for, and he wanted teams to fully commit to the crowd and to give everything on a match day.
Elsewhere tonight, Barcelona will be hoping for an away win over Slavia Prague to move them back into the top eight to avoid that playoff round. Atalanta hosts Athletic Bilbao and Bergamo. Jose Mourinho takes his Benfica side to Turin to take on Juventus. Those games all start at 8 o'clock. Before that, at 5:45, Galatasaray are at home to Atletico Madrid. Karabag face Eintracht Frankfurt in Baku. There was another episode of Outside the Box this week where Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson talk all things Irish football. And one of the topics up for debate was, where should Michael Noonan go to progress his career?
Michael Noonan was obviously subject of a bid over the weekend from Hoffenheim for about €1 million. Shamrock Rovers are looking for double of that. Where should Michael Noonan go?
It's something that I would always advocate players to do, and that is go to the continent.
This is Ben's Noonan.
Anti-Britain Ben.
If Michael Noonan goes to Hoffenheim, say, right, and they up the bid, which, by the way, is a farcical bid at that. I mean, I know he's had a contract in thing, but can you imagine if Michael Noonan had a Croatian passport or had a Serbian passport and was playing for Krenosvez or Red Star, or he was playing for Dinamo Zagreb, they'd be bidding 6-7 million, and there wouldn't be any questions asked about it. If he goes to Hoffenheim, more than likely he's going to be playing for the Hoffenheim second team.
Yeah,
the Hoffenheim second team is in the third division in the Bundesliga.
Yeah,
it's not that far of a level away, and you have a view into joining the Hoffenheim first of all. You'd be training with them. They're, I think, third, fourth in the Bundesliga.
Yeah,
you'd be training with them every week in, week out. You impress on training, which I have no doubt, I've seen enough Michael Noonan now that I know he has all the potential to go to the top.
Yeah.
If you're training with them week in, week out, you're showing them you have the tools, you're capable, and you're nearly ready to play senior men's first team football at a good level.
So I think the Chelsea one is the most interesting one.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Chelsea are obviously part of this, you know, blue coat model. They have Strasbourg, which I think if Noonan did go to Chelsea, I think he would end up at Strasbourg.
Yeah.
Right, okay, they have like a million players, but I think he could develop one in a really positive way. Like the strikers at Chelsea, what Marc Giroud.
They're always looking for a striker.
Yeah, they're always looking for a striker. And just by the fact of being at Chelsea and maybe moving to Strasbourg, you know, and maybe come back to Chelsea and then maybe going somewhere else. Like, he might never play for Chelsea, but being on the books of Chelsea might be great for his career.
If Michael Noonan did go to Chelsea, I wouldn't have any concerns about him getting lost that I would do maybe with some other clubs, just purely because I think they are so hyper-conscious of the money side of things. And I know every Premier League club is, but the fact that I don't think they would do this just for the sake of doing it, you know. Mm.
If you want to hear that podcast, you can do so now for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. One story to keep an eye on from an Irish point of view, Fulham, Wolfsburg and Real Betis are all in the race to sign Ireland international Troy Parrott from AZ Alkmaar, according to Miguel Delaney in the London Independent. Meanwhile, Michael Obafemi has joined Blackpool on loan until the end of the season. The 25-year-old spent the first half of this season with German side Bochum, where he featured only 3 times. On this week's episode of Coy Gig, Kathleen McNamee was joined by former Athlone Town player Kelly Brady, who's now of Crystal Palace. Brady was called into the Ireland squad late last year after her incredible season for Athlone, and she says it's been an exciting time for her.
What is there not to be like excited about with the team like Crystal Palace? Like, it's just a like just the name Crystal Palace is super like prestigious to me. Like, you know, growing up in the States and stuff, you hear about all about English football, and like that was a dream for me, you know, to one day go over and play in England. I didn't think the opportunity would come so early in my career, but I'm very thankful, and you know, that they, you know, brought me over for a trial and liked me enough to sign me. So I'm just excited to see what I can do over here.
Surely that all has to be in the back of your mind somewhere, that, you know, making a move like this to somewhere like Crystal Palace, where you are probably going to get like a little bit more attention, and then also all these big games coming up, plus a World Cup, must be kind of exciting in your own mind.
It is really exciting. You know, I just got to step up to the mark now, you know, and make all this hard work count, hopefully with, you know, getting this camp called up. You know, I've taken the advice of other people, you know, just getting to a place where it's more full time and where I'll be really challenged from day to day. So, yeah, I just got to step up to the mark now and prove myself, and hopefully it all pays off.
And you can listen back to that one as well in your football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Aston Villa have expressed their interest in signing 28-year-old Crystal Palace and France striker Gianfilippo Mateta. The Eagles are also believed to be looking at Villa's Ivory Coast international Evan Gessan. Mateta has told Palace he wants to leave the club this month, and it's believed he's also held talks with Juventus. Villa, meanwhile, are stepping up their efforts to sign Roma striker Tammy Abraham, who's currently on loan at Besiktas. He had a spell with Villa when they were in the Championship and got promoted back to the Premier League. And finally, Waterford have brought in Norwegian winger Jørgen Vollås to their squad ahead of the 2026 League of Ireland season. The 27-year-old had a trial period with the club and featured in pre-season games. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
It'll be interesting, but on that point, it'll be very interesting what McLean brings appeal. It's definitely going to generate things, get things stirred apart a little bit.
No, for sure. It'll be like, I don't know if it'll be box office, if that's the right word, in the same way that like Damien Duff was. You know, I don't know if it'll catch the same way, but it's just like the added thing of actually just seeing James McLean play at that level. Like, James McLean isn't washed.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all.
He's played a significant amount of games for Wrexham in the Championship, which is widely regarded as, like, you know, you've your top five leagues.
The championships,
as far as the depth of quality in the league goes, it's up there with any league in Europe. And he's played a decent amount of games, wasn't terrible in a lot of them. Played Nottingham Forest in the Cup a few weeks ago, obviously missed his penalty, but notwithstanding. He's playing at a high level, and he's always been an outrageous nick, and I don't think that's going to stop with him coming back to Ireland. If anything, it'll increase, and he's going to get to play with his brother, which is a lovely little story in itself as well.
And you can listen to Coy Gig in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Meanwhile, another week and another episode of Matthew Brennan's Green Scene on Off the Ball Breakfast. This week he discussed James McLean's move from Wrexham back to Derry City with Ger Gilroy and Arthur O'Dea.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.